say. If you're afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, so let me see you get loose.
It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
After week four of the NFL season, they were calling for Tom Brady to be benched in New England, and now they are calling him a four-time Super Bowl champion as the New England Patriots defeated the Seattle Seahawks 28-24 in one of the great games of all time. I think one of the great Super Bowls that you'll ever see. The Patriots down 10 late in the game, put up 14 unanswered in the fourth quarter. They get an interception at the 1 yard line to ice the victory on a play call that will be debated for years and years to come. You had unsung heroes, Chris Matthews, a guy who had been cut by the Browns in the past, by the way, making not only his first NFL catch in the Super Bowl, but he caught four passes for 109 yards and a touchdown. You had Malcolm Butler, an undrafted rookie free agent for the Patriots, make the huge interception to win the game. A guy who was working at Popeyes earlier this year, the fifth corner, gets an opportunity to play because Kyle Arrington gets benched and makes the biggest play of the season for the Patriots, and they win 28-24, cementing the Brady-Belichick dynasty. So that's what happened last night. At midnight, it became Matt Wilhelm Day, Matt Wilhelm's birthday. And happy birthday, bro.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so what did you do last night? What are the big celebrations, the festivities, et cetera?
Not too much festivities. We just had a few friends over last night at the house, ordered some Papa John's pizza, got the wings going too.
Don't you just love those pepperoncinis in there?
I do love the pepperoncinis
in
there. Yes.
Great treat.
Just watched the game and, again, tuned in to a great Super Bowl. Of course, I was tuned into the Super Bowl ads, and I believe all of us were tuned into the halftime show to be able to
liked it.
I thought it was cool.
I liked it.
I liked the fact that, like, my kids, who are, of course, you know, my son dabbles in and out of the game, and, you know, whether he's on his Kindle or, you know, playing his Wii or whatever it is, it's like when he saw the big lion,
you
know,
strong.
It wasn't even that she was on top of it or, you know, that she was looking good on top of it. It was like, wait, that lion is on the football field? And he was, like, glued in from that point forward because, you know, the scenery were changing and the, you know, the kind of like the bouncing 3D, similar to like, you know, the Cavs pregame.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
I thought Roar was good. I thought the Lenny Kravitz cameo was awesome. He looked like a total rock star. I thought that was awesome.
The fire and fireworks was cool, but the fireworks at the end.
Fireworks.
What a great venue.
Just a great
venue
scene.
To be able to do that from outside the stadium.
And to look down in. Well,
yes.
And it reminded me, so WrestleMania was there, WrestleMania 27. 26 was at that stadium, and so for a lot of the wrestlers, they have fireworks, and so we were down by the ring, and the top was open like that, so you'd look up, and you'd see the fireworks going.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's a great, great stadium. It's a great venue there. I thought that the sharks and the walking balls were very interesting. They were properly inflated, it appeared to me, as well, the beach balls there. But I thought she did a good job. I thought it was a strong halftime. Obviously, a great game, which we will dissect here throughout, you know, the next 2 hours on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We do have to acknowledge right off the top there's another story here, of course, in Cleveland, and that is that Johnny Manziel entered a rehab program last Wednesday. Here's the statement from Brad Beckworth, a friend and advisor to Johnny Manziel and his family. He said, Johnny knows there are areas he needs to improve on to help him be a better family member, friend, and teammate, so he decided to take this step in his life during the offseason. On behalf of Johnny and his family, we're asking for privacy until he rejoins the team in Cleveland. And General Manager Ray Farmer issued the following statement. We respect Johnny's initiative in this decision. We'll fully support him throughout this process. Our players' health and well-being will always be of the utmost importance to the Cleveland Browns. We continually strive to create a supportive environment and provide the appropriate resources, with our foremost focus being on the individual and not just the football player. Johnny's privacy will be respected by us during this very important period, and we hope that others will do the same. So obviously, we'll talk Super Bowl, but given that it's Cleveland Browns Daily and that Johnny Manziel, the team's quarterback, first-round pick from a year ago, entered rehab on Wednesday, I imagine that will be a topic here. Let me just say this, Matt. I'm happy that he has taken this initiative. I'm happy that he is seeking the help that he needs to get, and that hopefully he will come out of this and be able, again, this doesn't, going to rehab doesn't guarantee success for him as a person or quite frankly, as a football player. But I think the football part of it is secondary now. He's got to clean up his life off the field and be the best Johnny Manziel he can be. And I'm glad to see him take this initiative and try to do that. So I applaud him for it. I respect him for it. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing when you're in the kind of the limelight that he is to do. I know some friends who have had to go to rehab. It's not an easy thing to do. It's very tough on, it's going to be tough on him, and hopefully he will come out of it a better man for it.
I hope so too. And that's where I come out on it as well. And you have to look at, you know, two of the most troubled individuals on this roster in the 2014 season, Josh Gordon and Johnny Manziel, have gone about their offseason business totally different. You know, last week, the end of last week, we read the Josh Gordon letter, you know, and him trying to solidify himself in a positive way, talking about, you know, no positive tests and he made a mistake and trying to, you know, call out those who don't know Josh Gordon, taking a more aggressive approach in the defense of who he is and the mistakes that he's made. And Johnny, yes, started the offseason a little rocky with some of the social media of being in Aspen and celebrating LeBron's birthday and so on and so forth. But, you know, he kind of fell off the face of the earth there for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And now I think what has happened, we hope has happened, is he's been surrounded by a great team of people, you know, including some of his family and friends, attorneys, a support system built around him. And you would hope that it took all of them and not just Johnny, because if it was such a quick decision for Johnny to go in, it can be that easy for Johnny to go out. But if they all support him in who he's going to be and support him in the ups and downs of his life first and foremost and his career secondly, then I think he went about it in the most positive way. It wasn't like when he walked in, you got a tweet about, hey, you know, I'm going to be off the radar for X amount of days. He faded off, you know, into the distance, you know, and entered it. And he's been in now 5 or 6 days, and we're just now talking about it. So that's a very positive thing for Johnny.
No question. And again, it is something that certainly should be. He should get credit for doing this. It is a very tough step, and I think that, you know, I give him credit and I applaud him and I hope that he does well with it. Obviously, we'll get your reaction to it. We're going to hear from Stephen A. Smith and, of course, Skip Bayless is their reaction to it here as well. Let's go ahead and also, you know, focus on this Super Bowl, because I think it was such a great game. And our Ohio Business Machine hot topic of the day is, number one, call up and wish Matt Wilhelm a happy birthday.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you got to do.
Please do.
Number two, from the Super Bowl, what are you going to take away from last night's game? Was it the best Super Bowl ever? Talk about the play call at the end. Was that the worst play call ever? Who should shoulder the blame for that? And the best and worst commercials. And I will say, the Super Bowl commercials used to be way more of a happening to me. And I felt like this year they weren't. They weren't fun.
No.
They weren't funny. I mean, a couple of them were, but I felt like they were trying to be almost too deep and too emotional and too poignant.
I agree.
I want to be entertained. I don't want to be like sitting there, you know, thinking about my kids and, you know, being a dad and or whatever all those ads were attempting to do.
The couple that made me laugh, and I know we'll get into them as we get these callers, but I thought the Doritos one was good, where the guy is sitting on the plane, you know, on the plane, and he's got the open middle seat and all the
that was a good one.
That was a good one, and you know with the lady with the baby comes walking up. And of course, I like the Fiat, the new Fiat commercial was really good.
Yes, with the bouncing Viagra. That was very clever.
Very clever. I thought that, you know, the old Italians, you know, in their, you know, 60 plus years of age are still trying to get it done.
Yeah, yeah, and, I like that.
And the man is ready to deliver, and he loses the pill, and it bounces into the Fiat, and it turns into the Fiat.
A souped-up Fiat, a bigger, it immediately expanded. Yes. It was the Fiat
muscular.
Grill. Yes. I like the one the horses rescued the dog.
Yes.
That was a good one. That was a nice one. I thought the guy playing a human Miss Pac-Man was pretty cool.
That is the Bud Light. I watched that on YouTube prior to it, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that was well done. You know, that was well done. I thought the Kim Kardashian one was actually – that to me was more of a Super Bowl ad than almost any other of the ads, because you had a celebrity
star
making
power.
Fun of herself.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty good.
But it still doesn't make me want to go get T-Mobile service.
No, but I mean, is that necessarily the point of these ads? I don't know.
Yes, it is. Absolutely it is. Well, you want to be T-Mobile is making money simply because we're talking about T-Mobile. So, you know, we're adding to the, you know, the luster of the commercial with Kim Kardashian, which is why they went out and spent the money that they probably had to pay her to do the commercial. But I thought it was good. But for me, I just rolled my eyes because I'm so over her.
Yeah, no, that's true.
With very little skill set, your selfies are making you millions of dollars.
You know which one was also really good? The BMW, the newfangled idea about their car. Can you believe that clip of them with the at?
Internet.
Crazy,
that is awesome.
Right? From 94.
I thought that was really cool. Internet, what is this? Like, what's that at symbol?
Right. They're like, does it mean about? Is that about? I remember, do you remember the first, I think it was the first browser was like Netscape Navigator?
Could be right.
Do you remember that?
I do.
I feel like in like 96.
Do you remember when you were when your parents finally get the internet and you had to have like the like you had to actually had to like dial up the internet and how long it took?
Yeah, AOL.
It took you probably 3 to 5 minutes to get to the first page of what you wanted to accomplish on the internet.
Oh yeah. It's like now if a page doesn't load instantly, well, you're just like this
you're
is
like,
ridiculous.
I hate my service.
This is garbage. This is awful. Hilarious. Anyway, so yes, it is Matt Wilhelm's birthday. We've got the great Super Bowl to talk about, which was fantastic. And it's interesting. There are some pieces about it why I know people immediately. And listen, I'll say this. I would have turned around and handed the ball off to Marshawn Lynch. But, you know, some of the rationale that has come out for it is certainly very interesting. There are some stats I'm going to throw at people that I think they will find to be very, very interesting about that play and the success of running and passing at the one-yard line, et cetera, et cetera. So lots to get to on the Super Bowl, but to me, just a great game. Obviously, I was rooting for the Patriots, so I was very happy with that. I won a dinner bet with our own KG, Kevin Griffin, which was good.
Very cool.
Former Seahawk employee.
And you know what? I found myself – I know I picked the Seahawks to win, the friends that we had over. You know, I was doing every prop bet, you know, heads or tails, you know, at the house.
We got it. First of all, I wanted tails, and the kid, remember, tails never
tails.
The kid would never, he said it goes against, he said making that type of a wager, if such thing were legal, would go against everything he stood for because there's no skill in it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then it goes, and then of course it lands on tails and he's like, cost us millions.
Yeah. And then also too is I see Belichick wearing the navy hoodie.
No cutoff.
But no cutoff. So I was wrong in that regard.
Yeah. Navy hoodie, but no cutoff.
I think we were of us were all in on Katy Perry cleavage.
Yeah, but did that – what? So Gibbs, since that was your bet, what was the ruling there?
About the cleavage?
Yeah. Do you know what they ended up saying it was?
I don't. I'm looking it up right now.
I think it was no cleavage.
It should have been cleavage.
Oh, but only briefly in that one outfit.
Yes, it was.
Cleavage is cleavage, boys.
Yeah, but I don't know if that was like her first outfit. I don't know what the standards were for the wager.
And also,
too,
the national anthem. It was like, I timed
it. They took it off.
They took it off. I timed it. I think it was, what, 201?
I don't
know. Well, they had put it at 201, yeah.
201. It was like 201.23.
Really?
And she held that last note to create almost like another half a second.
Well, she apparently was on a Levitard show and told Stu Gatz that Stu Gatz wanted her to make it go over, and so she was going to make it.
She held it.
They took it off the board.
I believe it.
Yeah,
they did.
They took it off the board. Yeah.
It was controversial in my eyes.
It was. Yes, it was controversial. And the Gatorade was blue.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so none of us.
I had orange.
Yeah, none of us got that. I think I had the standard Gatorade.
We all talked about liking blue Gatorade or purple Gatorade,
yeah,
but none of us chose it for the choice.
Do. Exactly. So crazy, just wild game. And I remember, you know, when Kearse caught the one that the guy had tipped away, I thought it was going to be like the David Tyree catch over again. Like
Antonio Freeman.
And the Patriots are just going to have this crazy, weird thing that happens to them and cost them. Yeah, the Antonio Freeman was against Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken. Just crazy. Just a wild, wild game. But a great game.
Great game.
Went by so fast.
It was so
very, very good.
A lot of completions. You know, a lot of runs early, I think, in that first quarter. That first quarter probably took 20 minutes.
The first quarter was very fast, and the Patriots, that first quarter under, once again, was certainly, you know, that was right on the money again.
And just to keep talking bets, I know so many guys probably that buy squares were discouraged to have 0-0.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were like a 7-3, you know, would be a 4 and a 7 were such like probably prime numbers. But to end the first quarter at 0-0, somebody with 0-0 on their boards were probably extremely happy.
Well,
yes.
And now New England has not scored a single point in the first quarter of any of these Super Bowls.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yes, it is.
Totally crazy. And yet they got it done. Down 10 against the so-called greatest defense. And I'll tell you what. I thought the fact that Richard Sherman, after Revis gave up the touchdown and he was over there doing the 2-4, I thought that was bad karma.
Yeah.
I thought that was like I was hoping that would come back to bite him. And then at the end, when it breaks down and they're fighting people at the at the end, Bruce Irvin.
That just goes to show what sore losers they are.
Stay classy.
You know, when they're the bully
and
they're punching somebody, it's always like looking down on somebody else. It's like you can always have your chest out and be so confident with your words. But all of a sudden, you're getting punched back, and then you want to go that way. And I just think – And I said this during the game when that happened is Roger Goodell's got to be squirming in his chair right now. It's like for the year that he's had as the commissioner of this league with Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson, the domestic abuse and the new CBA and all this other stuff.
It was almost a fitting end.
Exactly. It was almost a fitting end to this season. I mean, Deflategate, you know, prior to the Super Bowl, it's like just negative light shining, you know, when it should be shining the brightest for the National Football League.
And you certainly, I mean, after a game like that, you certainly would hope that it would be shining bright. But how about Tom Brady? 37-50, 328 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. There was one prop that we never talked about on air that I thought was like the lock of all props. One was Shane Vereen's receiving yards, and he ended up going well over that. But Tom Brady, there was Tom Brady against Russell Wilson minus 6 completions.
Oh, that was a steal.
That was slam city right there. The Super Bowl is the best. I wish there were like props like that. And I know there are props on every game, but not to the level of the Super Bowl, obviously. But anyway, all right, we're off to a good start. We got the Super Bowl. We've got Matt Wilhelm's birthday. And then, of course, we've got Johnny Manziel's rehab. My position on it, Matt, is good for him, good for the kid. He's got to get this figured out. Obviously, he's got issues, and I applaud him and certainly am proud of him for taking the step to try to fix those. And if he can become, you know, the best Johnny Manziel he can be off the field, at least that gives him a shot, you know, to be the best Johnny Manziel he can be on the field for the Browns, which right now at this point, if somebody's entering rehab, to me, football secondary, but hopefully you can get it back. Best Super Bowl in a long time. One of my favorite ones, personally. Crazy play calling. Unsung heroes stepping up. How about Julian Edelman? How about Gronk? Amendola, the much maligned Amendola. Unbelievable stuff. Tom Brady on those last two drives, 13-15, nearly flawless. 2 touchdowns against this Seahawks defense that was up 10 entering the fourth quarter. Yeah. They don't lose games like that.
They don't lose games like that. And that just goes to show that Brady and Belichick had a plan, and they executed it to a T.
They totally had a plan. It was running a lot of that slant-flat combo, curl-flat combo.
Mismatches with Gronk on a linebacker, Vereen on a linebacker out of the backfield.
It was great. Well, listen, that's why the guy is the best coach to ever coach. 11 catches for Vereen on the day, 64 yards receiving as the Patriots get it done. 28-24 in an unbelievable Super Bowl. We'll talk the game. We'll talk the ads. We'll talk Wilhelm's birthday. We'll talk about what it's like to win a Super Bowl when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.